This is the Anthem CDA podcast, a church in the heart of downtown Coeur d'Alene. Join us as we seek the presence of God, learn from His Word, and build lifelong connections. We hope this week's teaching brings life and encouragement. Welcome to Anthem.
All right. Well, that was absolutely incredible. Thank you, Bree. I just want to take a minute to thank all the people that shared their testimonies, which would be Bree, Terry, Dan, and Rebecca, because we know that there is power in our testimony. We see the act of love of God in and through their lives. So I am going to talk to you this morning. We're on our last week of Advent, that's Advent is traditionally 4 weeks long, and looking at the themes of Advent, we look at hope, peace, and joy, which brings us to this week. And this week, we're looking at love. The word Advent actually comes from the Latin word adventus, which means the coming or arrival. So it signifies this season that is typically observed by the church. And historically, the church recognized Advent for two reasons. We look back and we look forward. So Advent is a time where we look back, where Jesus sent his son, the Christ child, into the world as a savior. We reflect and remember and acknowledge what he's done for us, but we also pause and we look forward. We look forward to acknowledge it and celebrate the coming arrival of Jesus the second time, to know that he is coming back. He promised to come back for us and to take us home. And so it's such a sweet season that we get to pause for a minute and acknowledge as a church. And it all sort of culminates on love today. Sorry, this candle's crooked. It's kind of bugging me. Okay. I feel like love is like no pressure. We're just going to talk about God's love, right? It's like huge, huge. It's everything. And so the idea that I would be able to in any way articulate or capture adequately what God's love is, I think would be false. But my prayer this morning truly is that each of us would encounter his love and maybe be reminded of what it means in a different way in this season. And love is also a very vast and varying word that we use for all sorts of things. For example, I love Christmas, and I really love Home Alone, and I love my dog, and I love puzzles, and I love black licorice and board games. And I love my husband, and I love my family, and I love my friends, and hopefully I don't love them all in this order, or we're slightly out of whack. Although if you know me, like coffee and my husband may be fairly equal playing fields. So we use this word all the time. We use it flippantly, and sometimes we use it with depth and conviction, but it's so varied. So this morning, for the sake of what we're talking about, I want to ask all of you how you would define love. And when I say I want to ask you, I actually want some people to, like, shout it out to me. And I'm a teacher, so I'm not afraid to call on names. If nobody volunteers, I don't know all of you, but I know enough of you that I could probably call some people out in each section. So, does anybody want to venture how they would define love? Selfless. Excellent. What else? Devotion. Excellent. Without condition, unconditional. Very good. Sacrifice, ooh, perseverance. That's incredible, because sometimes we love when it feels good, and then we all know we see more of each other the longer down the road we go, right? So selfless, perseverance, like all of these are attributes of love, and hopefully attributes we have experienced and we encapsulate. But for the sake of today, I want to ask that whatever word you thought of, however you would define it, that you would just hold that in your mind as we study through Scripture, this idea of what love is, because we can use it from anything to hobbies or interests, like we said, to people that we deeply love. But God's love, the love that we're looking at, is something that far exceeds that. So before we get into the word, I just want to take a moment to pray. And then we'll start. Lord, I thank you. God, I thank you that you are love. that in everything we see or experience or go through, there is one thing that is certain and unchanging, and that is you. And your word says over and over again that you are love. And I pray that today, just for a few moments, we could take a deep breath and rest in who you are and who you've said you will be. And that in that space, Lord, that you would speak to each one of our hearts. Lord, I pray as we learn and talk about your love, that for each person in this room, Lord, there would be parts of them that you would show them specifically why you love them, what you love about them, Lord, that they would feel so seen and known by you in this moment, Lord. I just thank you that you're with us, that you're always near, and we just commit this time to you in your name. Amen. So truly all of Scripture is about God's love. So for the sake of this morning and time, because I don't want to be up here any longer than you want to sit there this morning, so we're going to condense it. We're going to look at 1 John 4, 7 through 21. So the entirety of what we're going to talk about this morning in Christ's love is going to be found in this passage. It's obviously not the entirety of what Scripture has to say about love. I'm going to read through this fully, and then we're going to break it down into a couple chunks. So, beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Which means the payment. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. Therefore, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with the punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Okay, there are a lot of words in there and a lot of different ways of saying love. When John wrote this text, he's using the Greek word agape for love. And Tim Mackey from the Bible Project defines biblical love or agape this way: to seek the well-being of others without expecting anything in return. And honestly, this week I kind of realized how hard that working definition is because I'm not very good at that. I do expect something in return. Even if it's not like fully reciprocated, I find myself realizing like, well, I mean, I at least thought X, right? Like this kind of sacrificial love that is wholly invested in the goodwill and well-being of others is truly very difficult for me to wrap my head around. But this is the love that John's talking about and that we see exhibited in 1 John. In the Advent and Christmas season, we celebrate Jesus coming to earth as a man because he loved us. This coming provided not just love, but hope and peace and joy. And there's so much wrapped up in that passage and in this promise of Jesus that if we kind of summarized it into one statement, I think it would be that God is the source of all love. And again, this Greek word love that we're using is agape, seeking the well-being of others without expecting anything in return. Within the context of what John is saying here, we realize that we don't actually have what it takes to love that way. That's not even the goal. It's not that John is saying, Jesus did this, God did this, so you also have to do this. He's saying, God is this, and so by being his, you also are this. It's not a list of to-dos. It's not something that we have to muster up or figure out. And it's not based on the other person, on their merit or their worth or how lovable or likable they are or whether they deserved it. It's truly because God is love. If we look at this passage, we see that John lays out for us not only the kind of love that God is, but what that entails. And so for looking at this today, I've kind of broken it up into three different themes that I want to look at. And honestly, this could be done in a host of different ways, but this is how I'm seeing it. It's knowing God's love, receiving God's love, and giving God's love. Like, those are the three things that I feel like God is really communicating to us through John in this passage. That these three things all come from knowing that God is the source of love. And that for us, we acknowledge we love because we were first loved, period. The first section I want to look at is knowing God's love for us. Verses 7 and 9, and again, we're in 1 John 4, if any of you have lost your spot, but we're going to look at 7 and 9 right now. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. So this love that John is talking about is God's love, and he's saying it is love. But therefore, a huge part of how we display God's image to the world is our love for one another. And verse 8, it says, our ability to love one another comes directly from God. So we're going to think of it this way. And I'm going to say some of these, I want to give credit to where credit is due. No plagiarism, even in thoughts or ideas up here. The sermon team is something that happens every week, and I was able to sit with a couple of them on Tuesday, and it really is such an incredible blessing to sit and talk about God's word with people who have read and studied and hear their insight. It's challenging and encouraging. And so this analogy of power lines is not mine. I don't think I would have come up with power lines. I'm not super familiar with how they work. So this is Chris and the guys talking to me about this, but it makes sense. So we're going to imagine the power lines we see everywhere, right? It's how we get power to our homes. They're running, these lines are running, and apparently the top lines are power, and then you have internet and phone cable and all of these wires running. They're running by all of our homes, and they're all coming from a source that we connect to or we don't have power. When we're looking at God's love, we're saying he is the source. He is that power plant. He is all of it. And he has given access to all of us. But if we are not connected to him, we're not going to have any power in our homes. You can be as close as possible to that power line without powering your house. The same is true for us and God. I can be as close in proximity to him as possible. But if I'm not actually connected to him, I'm getting nothing from him. I know about him. I don't know him. And that's what we're talking about with God's love, is like, do you know who God is? Because when we know who he is, it transforms us, and his love is able to flow through us. One of the first displays of God's love we see is in creation, because it says that God created us in his image to display his beauty and love. And so in that, we are image bearers of God. He has continually shown us his unconditional love by allowing us to be forgiven over and over again. He is the source. He is unchanging despite the circumstances we face. His love is constant. And that is a very difficult thing, I think, for us to grasp, somebody's love who's constant. Because even those of us here who would say we love our kids and our spouse unconditionally, I think we're playing the long game with perseverance, and I think I would say that that is true. It doesn't mean that in every moment and circumstances, I can say that they experience love from me. I may seem fairly unloving at times, even though I would say, I love you unconditionally, but when you do that thing for the 20th time, it's like really pushing it for me. And with God, it's not like that at all. And I can't wrap my head around that. But it's such a beautiful promise that he gives us. Like, this love of his is far beyond anything we can imagine. And so when we talk about this, I want us to think about his love not as what we think love is or even what we deserve. I think oftentimes there's a barrier for us to experience God's love because in our head we read these words and we would attest to say that we believe the Bible is the true and living word of God. So if it says it, it's true. And if God is love, then I'm going to say that I believe that. But there's some of us that I would say would maybe go, but I don't know that I've experienced that in my heart. I don't know that I've sat for a moment and said, I feel completely consumed with God's love and know that he sees beyond anything else into the depths of my soul and he loves me. And that is the love he wants to give us. And I think sometimes we have a hard time accessing that because his love isn't always what we want it to be. We think of love as cuddly and nice and soft and warm, and sometimes God's love is directive and it's challenging and it sees beyond our desires to the depths of who we are and what we want. His love is one that removes every barrier between us and him, and honestly, sometimes we like those barriers. They keep us safe and comfortable, and there's a semblance of order that we can have in them. And God's love is a little bit more invasive than we might be comfortable with, but it also comes with so much more power and grace than we can imagine. And so I think that's a very brief idea of what God's love is, very brief, because again, we could spend forever trying to understand and not fully. But if he's given us this love, then how do we receive it? What does that look like for us to engage with him in a way that goes beyond head knowledge and goes beyond something that we say to others to something we've actually experienced in a transformative way? If we look at verses 9 through 12, gosh, it is so cold in here. Sorry, guys, I am like freezing. If we look at verses 9 through 12, it says this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. A commentator that I couldn't quite find the name of had this to say about this passage. God is known not only in the revelation that comes to us in Jesus, but also in the manifestation of our love for each other. The love of believers makes evident and concrete the activity of God among them. In fact, when the elder John writes, "This is how God's love is made complete," he means that it reaches its intended goal when it flows through us from God to our fellow believers. The love which God loves us must in turn be extended to the fellowship of believers. I'm going to read this part again. This is how God's love is made complete. He means that it reaches its intended goal when it flows from God through us. This is the love that God has for us. Matthew Henry had some pretty incredible thoughts on this whole passage, and some of it was a little bit beyond me. But these three observations he had, specifically looking at verses 9 through 10, which is that top passage that I just referenced, and talking about God's love, I thought were really beautiful. He said that God loved us such as we are. He willingly died for us, a people who at our best don't know him and didn't know him when he died, and at our worst despised and rejected him. His love came right where humanity was and gave absolutely everything. The second point he made is that he loved us at such a rate, at such an incomparable value, that he gave everything for us. He gave his only son to remove all guilt and shame and to make a way for us to be with him. He loved us first is the third point he made. He loved us first and in the circumstances in which we lay. And I actually really love this point, because I think it's one thing to say he loves us as we are. I think it goes another step to say he comes into the circumstances in which you lay. Because if we're being honest, we're not usually standing up strong in our circumstances. A lot of times we're laying face down. And Jesus is coming to us in those circumstances saying, I love you here. Like right here where you are, I love you. What he's asking of us is that we simply acknowledge and accept and receive this love. It's available. His presence is near. He's not asking that we go to some great lengths to attain it. He's asking for acknowledgement. He did all of this to come to where we are. He's asking that we acknowledge and accept that love. And in that acknowledgement, that we choose to abide in him. If we go on in verses 15 through 16, it says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and believe the love of that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. I've said abides a lot of times. So this is a literary device called repetition, right? We see abides five times from verses 12 through 16, and the author is repeating consistently, not to be redundant or because he lacked creativity to choose a different word. It's to cause emphasis. It's for us to realize the gravity of this word abide. It is the key to all of this, this abiding. And abide literally means to make your home in. And if we make our home in God and God is love, then we are living in love. And that is such a cool thought to me. Like, think about how your home serves you now in your life. Your home is the place that you go to and from. In your days, you leave and go out into the world and do all that you have to do. And then you come home to rest, to be safe, to be in a space that is yours. And God's asking that that home, that refuge that we find is in him. And when we do that, his love is what consumes us in that place. And I don't know about you, but for me, this is such a gift, especially in such a busy season, right? He's asking that we come and find rest with him and abide in his presence, and that is what transforms us. His love is ours simply because we're his children. We didn't do anything, and there's literally nothing you could do between now until the day you meet him that will make him love you more. Nothing. Whether the worst of the worst or the best. I think some of us are killing ourselves to be the best, thinking if I just get here, he's going to see who I really am, and he's going to love me. But the kicker is he sees who you really are even when you're here and you're lost. He sees past all of your decisions and choices, and he sees exactly who he created, and he deemed that worthy. That's his love that he's asking us to rest in. But I think it's hard for us to experience this sometimes, and I think there's a host of reasons, and probably more than I could address today. I think sometimes the challenge in us receiving and actually experiencing this love, that challenge lies in us and what we've experienced here on earth. We've experienced people who were supposed to be safe, and they weren't. And so then this love of a father all of a sudden doesn't feel safe. Or we have been let down, or we've hurt others, or we feel like we've done too much wrong for God to actually love us that way. There are so many barriers in our life as we go through life with broken people between us and experiencing God's love, that really today, over and over, I just felt like he just kept saying, like, do you trust that I am who I say I am? And can you surrender your idea of love to me so that you can experience what God's love is from him? Because we all know we can't give something we haven't received. So it's really difficult and truly exhausting to try to be vessels of God's love to the world if our hearts haven't experienced his love. It leaves us running ragged and feeling like we're never gonna measure up, and there's not possibly enough love in us for this broken world. And that was never what he intended. That was never his heart. His heart was, I see you and I love you and I want you to feel that and rest in that. And then from there, you can go and be a vessel of me. But it has to be him flowing through us. And I think sometimes those barriers prevent us from actually fully receiving. So it's impossible for us to release that to others. And then we find ourselves maybe lacking grace, maybe lacking compassion. Maybe we see these things in the line, or when somebody takes the toy you need for your kid, or you experience this in traffic. Maybe it's way bigger and deeper. Maybe it's broken relationships that you just can't figure out how to mend, or people that you would say you deeply love, but you don't know how to show them love right now. You don't know what that looks like because there's been too much that's happened. This leads us to the last part where it talks about the giving of God's love, which again, I struggle often with like a to-dos. I don't want us leaving here feeling like we have to do or be better. It's actually the very opposite of what I know God's heart is for our church. I want his love to be so tangible in our hearts that we leave feeling challenged to allow it to flow through us. And that's a very different thing than saying, go hug that person and be loving, which we've all done as parents, right? You have a 5-second hug, you touch them and say you're sorry, and you be loving. This is not what God is saying, and this is not the heart I want to communicate today. What God is saying is, would you just come sit with me for a little bit? And then when you think you're done, maybe stay a little bit longer. And the areas that feel tough or painful, would you rest in me and let me heal them and bring healing to you? Because then when you're done sitting with him a little bit, when you leave, you are different. His love is in you, and you affect the world because he's changed you. The last piece I want to look at here is verses 19 through 21. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So the challenge is, as previously stated, no one has ever seen God, but they see us, and how we love one another is how they see God, especially for those who don't believe. John 13:35 says, by this all people will know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. This love that God has called us to have one another, like I said, is his love, right? We're just simply choosing to connect to him and allow it to flow through us. And in my life, I think when I was younger, I experienced some pretty big trauma and abuse and things that were not easy by any means that deeply impacted me and my family deeply for a long time to come. However, when I was a child, loving and forgiving those that caused pain was so much easier because I knew I was given context that they were hurt, and hurt people, right? We know this. Yet when you're a kid, it just was easier for me. I genuinely knew that Jesus loved me, and I genuinely knew that the same love he had for me, he had for the person that caused pain, period. It was just that easy. And God's love was something I knew that I experienced, and I have very vivid memories and moments in really difficult, like, gritty situations that no child should have to be in, and I felt the love of God, like, felt his presence and his love, and it, I was a kid, I felt it, and I knew it, and I really believe he gave me an opportunity to be his love to someone else. But then it seems like we go through life and it can become harder and harder to be vessels of that love. Partially because we've experienced more, right? The more you know, the more you've experienced, you can't unknow it. And sometimes I think, even in my life, it becomes more challenging to extend his love and forgiveness and far lesser offenses than what I experienced as a child. I mean, trivial compared to that. But yet my heart is kind of weary, and you get kind of tired when you love people wholeheartedly. You get a little beat up, and you realize to love is to love without expectation, and you had expectations, and they weren't met, so you feel disappointed. And this is what happens through life, and so extending God's love this way, in my experience, becomes more challenging. And I think this is why Jesus says, like, to be like children. There's so much to that statement. There's so much beauty and resiliency and grace in our children that it constantly blows me away. You can be a total jerk to your kids, which none of us are, not a single one of us, and lose your patience, and then you look at them and think, they gotta be pretty ticked at me. And you're like, I'm really sorry. I didn't handle that way. Like, that's all right. I love you. And then they go on and you just have the best time. Like, they're wonderful. This is what God always intended us to experience, but life has different ideas. And I can't change that. I can't change the circumstances or the fact that we live in a broken world. And I don't think God's love is trivial or surface or saying, ignore all of that and just love. What he's saying is, I can give your heart a place to rest. I can be with you in that space. I can heal these broken places of your heart, and I can do something in and through you that you could never imagine. C.S. Lewis says, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one. Not even an animal. Wrap it up carefully, round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, and motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. There's really just no other way. It's costly, and it can be uncomfortable, but it's also the most beautiful thing that we get to experience on this earth. To love and be loved is the culmination of God's creation. It's what everything was for. His love for us was costly, like the highest cost, and it was all-encompassing. It goes everywhere, in everything. It's a love that words can't even begin to touch. And he sent his son to bridge that gap between us and him. And all he's asking is that we choose and accept him. And that in that place of accepting his love, that we rest in him and allow his love to flow through us. My mom used to always say that you can't outgive God. And I'm positive that this includes his love. There is no possible way that we could be too loving of a person. You don't have to hold back and reserve it and keep an eye on your love meter, because if you use it here, then you're not going to have any left here. We don't have to be in any way afraid of over-loving, because God is love, and if he is that source, it truly is never, never ending. I think this morning, like, it's been on my heart a lot to pray through the fact that this is really great and easy to talk about, and like I said, I love Home Alone, so if this can happen to the neighbor in Home Alone, I know it can happen in our church, right? If we can be loving and forgiving and see relationships stored. I don't have a choir to sing. It's like my favorite scene, and then he gets to be reunited with his son. But that is a reality. If it can happen there, we know that this is what God desires for our hearts. But I also know that for some of you, it's not that easy. For some of you, these relationships that are broken, they're really, really broken. And maybe broken beyond repair in this life, barring a miracle. And maybe they're unsafe, and maybe you've been hurt, and maybe there's things you have to put in place for you to be okay or for your family to be okay. In no way is being a vessel of God's love, am I saying that you would have to compromise any of that? What I'm saying is his love can still be available to you and flow through you. Your heart still can extend forgiveness even if that relationship doesn't get to be restored. God can restore and redeem your heart so that there's not brokenness or bitterness there. I don't always think on this side of heaven we get to know the outcome, and I think sometimes he's asking us to have the wisdom to trust him with this and not to walk back into something that you know he asked you to trust him with. And so I want to be careful. I don't ever want someone to think that by being God's love, we have to walk back into unsafe or unhealthy places, because that is not at all what I'm saying. By being God's love, we accept his forgiveness, we extend it to others, and we can actually just pray that his power transforms and heals that person, even if we don't get to be a part of their life. That's still his love in action through you. So this morning, in closing, I want to take a couple minutes before we read the liturgy. And I guess I want us to have a couple moments of silence where we can sit and honestly reflect on our own hearts, where this is really just between us and Jesus, of like, where are there either barriers to us experiencing God's love, that it's something we know that he has for us and we desperately want it, but we don't feel it. Asking the Lord to help you see that. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And I find often I don't always know how to put to words what's going on or even put my finger on it, but God knows. And in those moments, just asking him, like, Lord, help me know what I don't know, because he knows your heart. Or if you are ready, know that he's asking you to be a vessel to somebody that you really have not wanted to. Maybe there's a blockage there. Maybe that's been walled up for you, and you feel like he's challenging that in your own heart. I know I'm preparing this sermon for Chris and I. There's somebody we love dearly that is currently in a hospital bed, and loving them has been one of my life's challenges, and knowing how to do that in a safe way for me and our family and for them has been a challenge. But I also know that God's brought this full circle, and there's not a coincidence that I would be up here talking to you guys about love and then find myself really coming face to face with, like, what does this look like to be loving right now? Because everything in me is just like, this is so hard and I don't know what to do. But instead, I know that God loves me with this ferocious depth that would never close the door and walk away. And so I guess I'm asking, what does that look like in your heart? Where is he speaking to your own heart about his love, and where you're receiving it, and how you're a vessel of that? So I'm just going to ask that we take a couple minutes, and then we'll close in a liturgy. right, we're going to read this liturgy together twice before we head into a time of communion and reflection. So we'll read it through the first time and then together again. Father, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of your Son, fill us with your perfect love. Teach us to love others as you see them, to reach out in kindness, and to share the gift of your love with those around us. Help us to live in a way that reflects your heart for the world. Amen. Father, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of your Son, fill us with your perfect love. Teach us to see others as you see them, to reach out in kindness, and to share the gift of your love with those around us. Help us to live in a way that reflects your heart for the world. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to reach out to us or see what we currently have going on as a church, head to anthemcda.com or find us on social media at anthemcda. We can't wait to see you next week.